On the day of Pentecost, one of the miracles that occurred was the fact that the disciples of Jesus could speak to people of multiple languages, and yet everybody was able to hear them speaking and understand them in their own specific language. And so it's fitting that the Old Testament reading that's appointed for Pentecost be from the account of the Tower of Babel, where God, because of man's evil, scattered the people and confused their languages. Reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 11, it's found on page 10 in your pew Bibles. We read verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is the account of Pentecost, or portion thereof, from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, page 1165 in your pew Bibles, and we read verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1154, and we read John 14, beginning at verse 23. The time is before the crucifixion of Jesus, but he is promising to send them the Holy Spirit. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based upon your gospel lesson and your reading from Acts as well, the account of Pentecost. A reading from John 14 at verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. This is our text. When God gave to Israel in the Old Testament a plan for how they would worship him, it was not quite like the way we do things today. One of the things that he commanded was to rest on the Sabbath. Now, back in the days when God gave that command, there weren't synagogues and churches and things like that. So you kept God's day by sleeping late. And so if the priest came to you on the next day and say, "Hey, I didn't see you on the Sabbath," You said, well, it's my only day to sleep in. He said, praise be to God, you've got it right. But while there wasn't a specific way to worship God on the Sabbath, when the festivals that God commanded Israel to keep came along, you kept them for a very long time. Passover was not just a one-day event. Following Passover, as you gathered together in Jerusalem, you would then celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread that went for an entire week. For an entire week, you would gather together as God's people, talk about his saving works, go to the tabernacle, offer sacrifices, or observe sacrifices being made to atone for your sins. One of the other festivals that was to be kept was the Feast of Tabernacles. It followed 10 days after the Day of Atonement, which was a special day of rest in addition to the Sabbath. And you would go to the tabernacle, or later on to the temple in Jerusalem. And you would rejoice. And one of those specific commands God had also given was that his words to Moses be read into the ears of the people at that festival. And so you'd spend an entire week, if you will, in Bible study, hearing God's word read to you. Of all the festivals that Israel was commanded to keep, the last one that I haven't mentioned yet is Pentecost. And it's the only one that we still keep ourselves as an annual festival. But the way we keep it is not quite the same as the way Israel used to keep it in the days of the tabernacle and the temple. And what we celebrate is, in a sense, a little different as well. Pentecost literally means 50 days. It followed Passover by 50 days. And it was a celebration of when Israel arrived at Sinai. And God came down with smoke and fire on top of the mountain. And there were loud noises. And the people of Israel were so frightened that they went to Moses and said, "You go up on the mountain, but we don't want to go near it, lest we die." And so Moses went up alone into the mountain, and there God gave him the Ten Commandments. In Jewish legend, by the way, he gave it to them in 70 different languages of the world. So that all, if you will, and again, this is Jewish legend, they believed so that all the world would be able to know his laws. So, if you will, the celebration of Pentecost was a remembrance of God giving the law, which was put into the Ark of the Covenant, or as Scripture sometimes called it, the Ark of Testimony. And it dwelt, that is the law, the Ten Commandments, in the Holy of Holies, inside that Ark of the Covenant. And when the tabernacle was finished and the Ark was placed inside it, God again came down, and all the days of the wilderness wanderings of Israel, there was a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of smoke by day, that would rest over the ark and over, if you will, the law. Later, when the temple in Jerusalem was built, that pillar of fire and smoke again came down and filled the temple on the day of its dedication. So Israel would gather together once a year for another feast, for Pentecost, to remember the giving of the law. The day would begin with the morning sacrifices. You might recall, as I was reading the book of Acts earlier, there was a reference to the disciples not being drunk because it was only the third hour of the day. That was the time when the morning sacrifice would be offered. And all of Israel that had gathered together for the feast would typically be at the temple to not only witness that morning sacrifice, but the specific sacrifices that were commanded for the day of Pentecost. And when they would go up to begin the offering of that sacrifice, the priests would turn to the people. And one of the things he would do is read to them the Ten Commandments. And it's at that moment in time when something amazing takes place. The apostles were gathered together in one house. And suddenly those loud noises that attended to the day when God came down on Mount Sinai began to take place in Jerusalem. It sounded like a huge rushing wind. It caught the attention of all the people. They run from the temple to the house where the disciples are. And they witness something amazing. Pillars of fire, but not resting over the temple, resting over the heads of the disciples of Jesus. And like in a Jewish legend, at least, the whole world heard the law of God being given. They now hear in their own native languages the words of Jesus being spoken. The Holy Spirit was now invested into the Church of God and its preaching of the message of Jesus. But that preaching of God's word included both law and gospel. As Peter begins to tell them what had happened, he reminds them of all the events they had already witnessed. The darkening of the sun in the middle of the day, an event that has never taken place in the world since nor before. Earthquakes. There had been rumors of people who were long dead being raised after the death of Jesus and walking about Jerusalem. And now they were witnessing a miracle themselves, thousands upon thousands of people. The disciples with those tongues of fire on their head. And the ability of everyone in their own native language to hear them speaking at one time. And they're telling them about Jesus. But here's the law. This Jesus whom you crucified, is now risen, is at the right hand of God. You know, there are moments in people's lives when, if you will, they're not dead yet, but it's a moment of complete horror. When you realize you've done something wrong and there is no saving you from it. It's kind of like that moment when you take a wrong turn and you drove off a 300-foot cliff. You haven't hit the ground yet, so you're still perfectly healthy. But you know it's over. That's how the crowds felt. When Peter uttered these words, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Jesus Christ, Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Because like when you drive off a 300-foot cliff and you haven't got ground yet, you don't know what to do. But God has an answer. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There is nothing we can do. Because like the people hearing Peter preach on that day of Pentecost, we too are responsible for the death of the Son of God. It is our sins that put him there. And each time we sin again, it is as if we are turning our backs on God and saying, "We don't care what it cost you to redeem us." How can God love people like us? And yet he does. And he sent his Son. And this is what he asks of us. Believe on his name. Repent of the sins you've committed. And believe that you have forgiveness for his sake. And he will put his Spirit into our hearts. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of love. And we will have the hope of living eternally with him. The hope we offer the world is so simple. But so many people live their lives without hope. They don't know where to turn. They fail and they don't know what to do to make up for it. They know they're going to die. They don't know what's going to happen. They've sinned horribly. Don't know what to do with their guilt. But in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God has given an answer. And on the day of Pentecost, the job of delivering of that answer to the world became not a fixture in the city of Jerusalem. Not a series of festivals that we are commanded to keep. But he gave that responsibility of bringing the good news to the world, to his church, to his disciples, those who had chosen to remember and write down his words for all time. And to those who believe in those words, who have the Holy Spirit in their hearts because they can confess that Jesus is their Lord, and who live in the world, a very corrupt world, a world with much pain and sorrow and trouble and sin. But God has put us here to be His witnesses, to bring to people who are in despair, to bring to people who are lonely, to bring to people who don't know where to turn, a message of hope and forgiveness. Not through what they have to do, but through what Christ has done for them in His death and resurrection and ascension before God, where He continues to plead for us each and every day. God, through Jesus, promised a helper. A helper that would bring peace to troubled hearts. You and I have been given that helper through our baptisms, through our faith in that word. And may God grant that we may bring that help to those whom we know who stand in need of it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.